E-commerce Gold is brought to you by Rewind. Accidents happen. Maybe you installed an app and it messed up your theme, or a store collaborator deleted product images by mistake. It's a common myth that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong with your store. The fact is they don't. That's untrue. That myth is busted. So what do? You use Rewind to equip your Shopify store with automated backups. Rewind should be the first app you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or collaborators gone bad. It's like having your very own magic undo button. It's trusted by over 100,000 businesses, from side hustles to the biggest online retailers like Knix, Lord & Taylor, and Moomin. It's even a Shopify Plus certified app. Best of all, visit rewind.com/ecommercegold and get your first month for absolutely nothing, free on us. The Econ Gold podcast has partnered with ClearCo to provide you with financial tools to grow your business without having to give away equity. ClearCo is the world's largest e-commerce investor and growth platform, giving founders the financial tools, capital, and network they need to grow. Plug in your Shopify store and your loan could be agreed within just 24 hours. Visit clear.co/partner/vixxr, V-I-X-X-R, for exclusive deals, £1,000 off your first loan as a podcast listener, and more information. This show is brought to you in collaboration with vixxr, a leading Shopify agency with a mission to grow and migrate brands to Shopify Plus. They've worked with some of the world's largest brands and can help you level up your e-commerce performance. Visit vixxr.com, V-I-X-X-R.com, for more information. Alexa, thank you so much for joining us on the Ecom Gold podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me here.
It's fantastic to be speaking with you, especially after the week you've just had. Do you want to explain to everyone what you've been up to?
Yeah, man, it has been a crazy weekend. We just spent the past month really prepping for, and then the past Thursday through Sunday filming D2C After Dark, which has been pretty crazy. A four days worth of filming, but it'll come out to a 4-episode mini series featuring like 50 plus D2C brands, six incredible creators who came and stayed with us in Austin for a few days. And, you know, I described it as imagine the real world, but instead of the Coca-Cola and McDonald's placement advertising, everything that our creators were seeing, eating, touching, all that good stuff was D2C brands. So it has been an incredible project, given me lots of respect for everyone in the production industry too. It was a wild ride.
Yeah, we saw snippets of it. If you're on Twitter and you're in the D2C world, you've probably seen snippets of it as well. Different creators uploading different moments. My background, if you can see it, is the Triple Whale Party Bus. You guys went all out, and I really want to jump into that. So this episode, we are going to be talking about how you put that together, why you put that together, and hopefully some fun stories and information about when it's coming out, things like that. But first, who are you?
Great question. So I'm Alexa Kilroy. I'm currently head of brand at Triple Whale. I've been here for about coming up on 3 months now. And some of you may know me as head of beans, as my phone loves to autocorrect brand to beans. The funniest thing about me is that I went to undergraduate for school to become a teacher, right? I went to school to do school. And I went through a program in which I actually took classes during the day took classes at night and taught during the day for 3 years of my undergraduate experience. So started teaching when I was like 19 years old. Taught for 1 year out of undergrad, realized it was not it to be kind of, you know, broke and really young and trying to start a life, and stumbled into the world of e-com and startups and never looked back. But I find that a lot of things that I do in my current role and in previous roles, they echo a lot of teaching principles. Consumer psychology and learning psychology overlap quite a lot. So thankfully, this pivot has made a lot of sense in some ways, even though some days it doesn't as well.
do you just become the designated copywriter because you did English?
Yes, I've spent a long time being designated copywriter. I think right now the kind of joke at Triple Whale is that I'm brand mom, but just about anybody at the company will send me a Google Doc and be like, can you read this and tell me if it makes sense? And it often makes sense, but I'm like, let's do some rewrites. Let's do some edits. So there's been a lot of copywriting in my life to date. And thankfully, I really enjoy it because, you know, all of those 30-page papers I was writing in college weren't necessarily the fun side of writing. So now I get to do the fun side of writing and actually get paid for it. So it all worked out.
What was the influence on you to jump into e-commerce?
Well, I honestly didn't know anything about e-commerce until I started in it. So when I was having my not even quarter life crisis, my like 21-year-old life crisis, where, you know, I was making 30 grand USD, I was teaching, I was doing these crazy hours, and I just moved to Austin, Texas. I was new. I didn't know anyone here. So I had like no friends because I was definitely burning the candle teaching, working a lot and not making a lot of money. So I was like, I got to figure something else out. And I didn't know where to go because I had this incredibly specialized degree and I didn't think anybody wanted to hire a teacher. And all the teachers that I knew that had made a pivot had actually gone into real estate and I had no interest. And so I was like, I'm going to figure something out. So I actually found an ed tech company that I worked at. I'm really, really grateful for that experience because first of all, it was like the resume pad that I needed to get into the startup world. But two, it gave me a more normal working environment experience, you know, where I had like a proper team and a manager and all those things that you don't really have in education. And while I had some of that working in hospitality as I was younger, it was completely different working in an office environment. So I worked at an ed tech company for about 6 months, but I was bored to tears. I was doing like post sales. I was working with school districts and leaders who had a bunch of data from this ed learning platform and they needed to know what to do with it. But there really wasn't enough work to fill my day every day. And so I would just sit there and not know what to do all day. And I would ask for more opportunities. And I sort of realized in that role that I wanted to work in a high stress, like, you know, kind of high tension environment. Like I wanted to work a lot more than I was being given. And so that's kind of where the opportunity of I want to wear many hats came from. So I worked there for about 6 months. And shortly thereafter, I was recruited. I just had started applying to jobs online and I was reached out to by a recruiter who was looking to hire a kind of catch-all ops role at an e-com startup that was making these effervescent drink tablets made with superfoods. They were still working out of a co-working office at the time. I think I was employee number 3 and I started doing really boring ops work like manually processing returns and chargebacks and dealing with customer service. And at the time, the founder CEO of the company had set up a program where if people called in and wanted to cancel their subscription to this product, you could get them to freeze it. Instead of cancel, he would give you $100 cash. Because it was worth it. And so it was not a scalable business choice for him, but I started crushing it and I was going home with like $700 cash a day and he had to stop doing it. And so I basically was like, hey, I think I'm good at some stuff that I didn't know I was good at. Can you give me other stuff to work on? And so I started with copywriting and then I started product photography and videography. And then I learned all the principles of media buying. And so suddenly I became this catch-all role there, which ultimately led to me having a title, like I think it was like advertising manager or something, in which I was doing all of the growth marketing stuff. And I had learned it in this complete short track experience. So I worked with them for a while and, you know, I bopped around some other e-commerce companies at different stages. I really like working at early stage e-com companies when they're working to kind of figure everything out. So, you know, usually you have a founder who has a product, has a vision, but they need some marketing support. And so that's kind of where I found my niche for a while. I never know. And then I kind of kept doing that and plugging and chugging until January of 2022, in which my current CMO and boss, Raba, reached out to me via Twitter and was like, hey, I like what you're tweeting about. Let's hang out. Let's get some drinks. We got drinks a couple of times. He told me he was hiring for some roles in Austin. And he said, you know, I could use your advice and hire someone else based on your advice, or I could hire you. Tell me what you would want to do at Triple Whale and see if we can make it work. And so I've been here for a couple months now and it has been awesome. It's been such a blessing. And I was very reticent to come to the other side of SaaS, but you know, the reality is that I was using this product that we have as a client and I understand exactly the pain points and the needs that brands have. And so it ended up being a really seamless transition going from the D2C side to the SaaS side.
Talk to me a bit about funnels. because this is something that I get asked fairly frequently when I do way too much free pro bono stuff with people. And just, I can't help myself. I just like being in it. And also it relieves some of the pressure of giving some of your like fringe advice that you think might work, but you haven't maybe tested as much as you should. You can kind of be like a bit more confident doing that. And I had such a call today actually with a very interesting brand. I won't name them, but they have like a celebrity founder and they were in trouble. They're not from an e-commerce background and they'd done some really classic mistakes, i.e. just running social media advertising with just kind of quite generic advertising all to the homepage or to a product page, and that was kind of it. And they were wondering why in today's world they weren't able to get traction and sales, and they didn't really have any funnels or anything like that set up. So can you just give us some insights on maybe what you see that's working well, because you've got such exposure to that data?
So the first thing I'll say is like the concept of, you know, best practices that work blanket for everyone is so fake. And so my experience has largely been in like health and wellness and supplements. And so I'm happy to speak on what those sorts of things work well. And then I can also speak to what's working well with some of our clients. The first thing that I'd really like to stress though, is that, and this is an insight that I really didn't have until I started working at Triple Whale, but one of the cool things about Triple Whale's, and this isn't even me pubbing the product, this is me just pubbing the value of the data, is that you can actually see the touch points or the true customer journey between when someone first interacts with your brand and when they actually add stuff to cart and then when they check out. And so since I've been working in e-com since 2018, 2019, I was very trained on like classic direct response principles. If you make a juicy enough ad and you have a juicy enough landing page, your people should be converting. Reality is consumer behavior doesn't look like that anymore. There are so many more touch points. So the first thing that I say to people when they're like, my funnels aren't working, is like, let's dig into what you're actually doing, similar to what you're saying. And let's talk about what platforms you're on, what you're doing with all your marketing resources, and let's adjust that for the fact that, you know, folks probably aren't going to convert from the first ad anymore.
I'm just going to jump in and cut your flow there. Sorry.
Yeah.
So let me jump on that point, because so you have on places like Twitter, people talking about what's working for them, and that's great. And they do obviously explicitly say this is what's working for us, not necessarily what will work for you. But what's your approach then to a brand? And when they say, okay, our funnels aren't working, what sort of things are you trying to uncover? When you say there's lots of different touch points and it's specific to each brand, what's going through your head when you're talking to them? Like, what are you looking for? Are you looking at their particular customer segments? Like, are you looking at the things that they might be interested in? Like, how are you piecing together that map of what is going to work for this particular company?
Yeah. So it depends on how old your brand is and how much data you have access to. So if your brand is fresh, and you don't have that many customers yet, I'm probably going to look at other brands in your vertical, maybe not necessarily your direct competitors, because you just don't want to copy exactly what they're doing. But I'm going to look at things in your vertical. So if you sell, you know, let's say hand soap, I'm going to start looking in like the body wash vertical or something like that to figure out what's working for them. So that's kind of where I start, but I would rather always use internal data and literally work directly with interviewing your customers, looking at your Shopify data, you know, your email marketing data, everything that you have for me before I start making suggestions. Because the reality is, even if you have a hand soap store and I have a hand soap store, even if we are competitors or not, the way that people interact with our brand could be incredibly different. And so just trying to copy someone else's best practice funnel or whatever is no guarantee that you're going to succeed. One of the things that I always rally for with brands, regardless of how old or new they are, is to get spend a week of your time, or have someone on your team spend a week of your time doing customer interviews that can be like 20 minutes long, and talk to people who are your diehard customers, talk to people who purchased once and then abandoned, and then talk to people who were disgruntled in some way. It's hard to get those people on the phone sometimes, so sometimes you have to incentivize it. But the best thing that you can do is learn from your customers about what experiences, either through the product, through the purchasing journey, whatever, went well or did not go well for them, so that you can really start to think about what your marketing process and what your sales process looks like from, you know, outside of your own little hamster wheel of thought. And sometimes that's where you get the most insight, where, you know, the reason that somebody was purchasing the product is different than you thought, or the way that they came across purchasing the product as different than you thought. And so you really need to be attuned to what people are willing to tell you and what you can get from them in order to actually implement meaningful change.
Yeah, I get it. One of the things that we were discussing, this is the first time I've spoken to this brand, and it's a friend of a friend. And we were talking, they're a purpose-driven brand. So they have a real mission behind their brand in terms of what they're trying to do and create and change in the world. And that was quite front and center in terms of how they're positioning themselves. And they also had these products, which are luxury products. So, and they are quite a new brand. So it was kind of a trifecta of trying to work out, like, how do you even approach this? Do you lead with the product? Do you lead with the mission? And with limited data, it is difficult. So is there anything you'd suggest in terms of, you know, having limited data? So you look at your competitors and then what, you build out funnels based on what you think will work based on what your competitors or, you know, are doing across social media and other places? Like what would your approach be?
I mean, the reality is that when you're launching something relatively new, I call it like this little pool of dumpster fire money, and you need to set aside a budget of money that you're comfortable spending to run tests. And then my kind of thought process on testing different funnels or testing different marketing campaigns, whatever it is first of all, you want to work with the minimum viable test. So before you go and contract out this like beautiful landing page that's going to cost you thousands of dollars, build the scrappiest version that's still effective and still achieves your goals yourself. Use Unbounce, use Unstack, use something to get it done quickly and test it with your minimum budget and your minimum viable test. And use that data to help you decide, okay, what do I invest in next? I mean, the most critical thing, like with that brand that you're talking about, and again, I don't have access to their data, is what I would want to understand is like, what's the big problem? Is the problem that they're getting to the page and they're not converting? Is the problem that they're not getting engagement on their ad creative? Like, you need to figure out where they're stuck and then dig in there. And then once you resolve that piece of stuck, you can move on to the next piece of stuck. And so if it's the ad creative and they're getting stuck on the ad creative, okay, we're going to set this month's dumpster fire, you know, test budget towards the ad creative. And then once we've got them on the page, but they're not converting, okay, next month we're going to work on that. The Rome wasn't built in a day cliche is so frustrating to hear, but it's so true. None of these e-com brands that have scaled crazy, crazy far beyond anyone's wildest dreams, you know, built this thing in a month and just started popping off. Maybe some of the drop shippers did in the early days, maybe pre-iOS 14, that was true. But the reality is like, you got to invest your time and your resources and think about this also on like the product and the ops and the production side on how much you really need to produce in order to be able to do these tests in the beginning. But, you know, take it piece by piece and work your way through until you've got to the point where you've got like a good pool of really dedicated customers. And then you're going to work off of that. And then you're going to kind of build off of that. The other thing that I would say is there's been a lot of research done into the world of mission-driven businesses. And as much as like I, as a consumer, would love to say, yes, I want to buy sustainable and ethical clothing or, you know, cleaning products or whatever, the reality is that's usually not what causes most people to purchase. It's the product. And then it makes them feel better ipso facto that, you know, it was good for the earth. And so my biggest piece of advice for mission-driven businesses is not to drop that, but make it a part of the experience as opposed to leading with it. And you'll see way higher conversion rates. And then as your brand is developed and you're really growing and scaling, like that's when you can lean more into it because you have the brand awareness now to say, okay, you know, we're a sustainable whatever brand. It's really hard from the cuff to lean with that.
Let's talk about
D2C after dark. I think we should all have a laugh and tell you a little bit about the behind the scenes of like the craziness. So
I'm all in.
So first of all, when 50 brands ship you product, your office looks like a fulfillment center. So the day before we're about to go shoot, we realized like this stuff isn't going to fit in our cars. All these boxes aren't going to fit in our cars. So we hustle butt to go rent effectively like a U-Haul, like a cargo van to carry all this to the penthouse. We pack up all the stuff. It's 103 degrees in Austin. We're just dripping, sweating through our clothes, like so hot, hauling all these boxes. We get to the penthouse and the penthouse is downtown. It's like improper downtown. You can't like park your car up in front of it. You have to park like in an adjacent alleyway, whatever. And so we get there and the penthouse is four stories. It's enormous, but it's got these enormous staircases. You know, there are bedrooms on every level. There's a rooftop, whatever. The actual structure of the building is very old, but the inside is very modern and beautiful. We get there and we're like, oh, thank God. We haul all these boxes in. We're like, there's an elevator. Amazing. We find out we can't use the elevator. So then we're hauling, like myself and my team are hauling all these boxes of product all up around the floors. We obviously rented this penthouse like any, you know, Airbnb, right? So we check in a few hours before our creators are due to arrive. Myself and my team running around like chaos, trying to place all the product, make everything look nice. And then, you know, everything's unpacked, but we have a whole cargo van's worth of like cardboard boxes, and I can't figure out where to hide them for production. So I find a storage closet like in someone's bedroom. I'm just throwing boxes in it. I'm trying to close the door. The boxes are falling down on me. I'm hearing the production team say that they're like starting ready to go, right? So there's all this stuff that like you never think about is happening behind the scenes, because when it comes out, it'll be crispy and great. And in addition to that, you know, we aren't like, you know, we put as much money into this production that we felt comfortable. And so we couldn't hire like whole staff of production assistants and like, you know, the people who clean up the garbage, like none of that stuff was happening, right? We're doing everything. And then production is doing everything. And creators are doing everything. So you'll see on Twitter, there are multiple pictures of me. I just like passed out on the floor, like in the room somewhere. Like there was a movie theater in the penthouse. And like one day I just had to take like an emergency nap for an hour. Another night we were filming until 2 a.m. and I got up from dinner and walked into the other room to clean something up. And I guess I sat down on the couch and I just fell asleep. Like somebody tucked me in and like I woke up and production was like, okay, we're back at it. And I was like, great, we're back at it. Here we go. And so it's just, you know, all these funny things go on. And then, you know, of course we have to check out of the Airbnb, right? At the end of it. And it looks like Project X happened in this house. You know, there are cans and cups and everything everywhere. And we're cleaning it all up and trying to get out in time. And it was truly like one of the most exhausting but rewarding experiences ever. And I think the coolest thing about all of it is, you know, like, we brought these creators together who didn't know each other. Maybe one of them had like a couple of them had met before once in passing, but weren't friends. They all left. They're all like crying when they're leaving, saying, I love you. You know, like they're all so tight. And many of them had never had the experience of wearing, you know, one of those mics that like gets clipped into the back of your pants and run up through your shirt. They're called lobs. So it's like full reality TV show production. And so, you know, watching them kind of get to experience that and be like, oh, I can't get in the shower. I have my lav on. I forgot or whatever, was super fun and enjoyable. But yeah, it was crazy. They checked in on Thursday. We did a big barbecue dinner. They hung out and made some content in the house and opened up all their gifts and all their swag from all these brands. Saturday they woke up, they had breakfast, they went on a yacht. Then they went out and like hit the club on Saturday night. We have some awesome footage there. I'm sorry, that was Friday. Saturday, they woke up, we did a big breakfast, they got in a party bus, they went to a brewery and did karaoke, and all the time they have all this product with them. So they're like, you know, they've got their tripods and they're shooting content everywhere, and it was super cool. And then we had a private like 6-course meal cooked for them in the penthouse on Saturday night with all these very beautiful elaborate dishes. And that was sponsored by one of our partners, Get Emails, which was amazing. The yacht was sponsored by Gorgeous, which was amazing. And then they got up on Sunday morning and they left, but it was incredible. There's going to be some really funny stuff. You know, like one of the gents came from UK and encountered a bachelorette party at the club and like, you know, has somebody's like sparkle cowboy hat that he wore all weekend. And, it's just, you know, there's so many amazing things that came out of it, and I can't wait till it's all put together at the end, but I'm mostly very excited for all these brands to see all the incredible content that we shot, because it's like very high production quality stuff and it's going to be amazing. And, you know, I seeing your waffles or pretzels being eaten on a reality TV show is nuts for a small e-com brand. So I'm super excited for them.
I'm like sitting here wishing I was you and there, but then also like half not, because I know that you're just basically sprinting around trying to make everything all right. Like literally just in time as well. Everything's just in time.
Precisely. It's like, and you know, I have no proper experience in production. I've done product photography and videography. So like, you know, I've got an earpiece where I'm hearing all the sound coming through, and I'm like directing people and I'm like, cam one, I need you to pan over here. And then I'm setting up this scene while they're doing that. And then we're all running around. And there's a lot of footage of me just looking pretty haggard from this weekend. But I will say, like, as much as I, you know, slept all day yesterday and slept 12 hours last night, like, it was worth it. And I can't wait to see what comes out at the end.
Sounds like one hell of an experience for these UGC creators and the brand. So the concept is product placement in a reality TV show. But so the reality TV show, are they UGC creators in that show or are they just people?
Yeah, they're UGC creators in the show. So some of the creators, like Kristen Jones and Dara Denny, they're pretty big folks in the space. Like Dara has like 20,000 YouTube subscribers talking about, you know, Facebook ads and media buying. But they've worked for all sorts of awesome brands. They created amazing content while on site for the brand. So while they were there, they were making UGC. It was very meta, right? So like they're making UGC for the brands and our film crew is filming them doing that while they're working with each other, ideating for it. So it's a really good behind the scenes look into like what goes into these folks that you pay to make ad content for you. And, then there's just some fun reality TV show bits to it as well. But each brand is walking away with, you know, content from the actual creators that they shot, as well as some really pretty B-roll high-res stuff from the film crew. And then, you know, the product in the show itself. So, you know, we had lots of drink sponsors like Olipop, Flying Embers Hard Kombucha, Wink Wine sent us one of their lines, Summer Water Rosé, a brand called Oza, which makes canned mimosa and sangria. It's actually Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers brands. Really interesting. But yeah, so we have like all these crazy brands that sponsored and, you know, they're going to get to see their product on a yacht and on a party bus and, you know, all, in all these different places, in addition to getting the content from the creators themselves. But I'll tell you, it's really something else sitting on a moving yacht, watching a bunch of UGC, like really talented creators setting up their tripods, like shooting content together on the front of the yacht while there's a production crew like filming the other half on the back of the yacht doing other stuff. It was pretty crazy. Definitely an experience to remember.
Yeah, I can imagine yourself, you had to sort of think to yourself a few times like what is going on, what is this?
Yeah.
what is my life
What did we sign it for? Yes, there was definitely some of those moments. I remember looking at my boss a couple times and just giving him like a pound it, our CMO Raba, and being like, what are we doing? Like, this is so different than what I thought my job was going to be. But, you know, it's pretty revolutionary. Like, our goal is to be the least boring SaaS company alive. I think we've done a lot achieving it already. I think this is like next level for us. And we're really living our mission of like, you know, giving the brands and the folks in the space, just, you know, amazing content to work with and to lift them up in every way possible. And so I'm really, really proud of it.
So what happens now once it's edited? What are the pieces of content that you're going to get out of it? Are you distributing to brands? Are you also going to have like a main piece for yourselves? Is there going to be multiple episodes? Like what's the drop?
So every brand is like getting a Dropbox full of all the things that they're featured in, either from the creators or from the film team. They'll get those assets and they own those. So we really did it to create content for them so they can put it on their website, their social, run it in their ads, et cetera. We will start releasing episodes as soon as they're ready. We'll have a web page for it. So as soon as I have it, I'll start sharing it on Twitter and you'll be able to go in and kind of watch the episodes. My goal is to drop them one by one and not let you binge watch them, because I think that's pretty, you know, we've done a lot of binge watching in our lives. I think it's more fun to have to kind of wait for it. So we'll be dropping those episodes. And then of course, you know, our partners that have participated in this and sent us product or sponsored part of the event, we'll be just kind of doing some co-marketing, some email, social, that kind of thing with them as well to distribute it. So all that stuff will be, you know, within the next month or so. Those are all things you can look forward to.
You should so stream it, like do a premiere, stream it live to Twitter.
You
like an hour before.
I really want to do this. So what's funny is, you know, as I was chatting with these brands, I was like, yeah, we only need a couple of XYZ. Like we only have six creators. And then, you know, if you want to give a little extra for the crew, the team, whatever. I have one brand that sent me, I think 150, it was Oza, 150 of every single flavor of their drink. So there's this whole wall in our office right now full of like remaining cocktails, Olipop, snacks, all kinds of stuff. So I was like, we're going to have a streaming party. Like we've got a lot of wine left to drink, you know, like there's a lot left to be done here. So I do think we're going to have some sort of really awesome streaming party. My goal is that, you know, we do it here in Austin, and anyone who's local can come to it and kind of celebrate with us. But yeah, well, maybe we'll find a fun way to do it online too. I think it's going to be pretty wild. So I can't wait.
Any data trends that you can share that might be quite interesting for our listeners in terms of maybe people not using Facebook as much, or like in terms of anything around marketing and advertising spend would be good.
Oh my God, so many things. Okay, the average TikTok CPM right now is below $2. The average Facebook CPM right now is like $25. Small to medium-sized businesses are the ones who are growing and scaling on TikTok the fastest, but it comes with the caveat that you have to invest more in creative production. So the actual assets and the creative that you're making have to be more engaging, et cetera. So what we're seeing is that these smaller and or more fresh businesses are taking their advertising team that was responsible for making Facebook creative before and instead investing that into the content necessary to scale and thrive on TikTok. And they're scaling and thriving on TikTok. The big businesses that have been heavy spenders on Facebook for a long time have experienced significantly less cost volatility and algorithmic volatility. And so while they have been impacted by the past year's worth of changes, they're still plugging and chugging and not investing in TikTok much. So what that means is that if you're a small to medium-sized business or you're a big business but and you have right now the ability to invest in the human capital necessary to succeed on TikTok, you should get on top of it because it's growing very quickly. I would say also another thing that we're noticing is that as Facebook, well, as in-platform retargeting has absolutely dwindled to near null in efficacy, folks are ramping up their Google ad spend and you know, using their brand keywords to the utmost ability with Google ad spend. So definitely ramp that up if you aren't investing in it now. And make sure nobody's bidding on your, make sure your competitors aren't bidding on your keywords and work to outbid them. And then lastly, if you're sending garbage email marketing emails because you haven't invested in them for the past couple years, now's your time to fix it. I say this with all the love in my heart, but I'm subscribed to nearly every D2C brand's email marketing. And if you send me a 10% off discount code every day, I'm never going to action on it. That is not a CTA. That is just a frustration. And I've probably flagged you as spam at this point. So make sure that you are using your email and SMS marketing not to irritate people, but instead to close them if they are stuck in your funnel somewhere.
Damn. That was fire.
I went off.
That was like 3 minutes of straight fire. That was incredible. I have so many good insights in there. Where do you share these insights outside of Triple
World? I don't know, man. I'm so busy at work. I need to start sharing them somewhere else. There was a period of time in which I was tweeting like actual insights for a while, but now that work is busy, I've fallen off and I'm pretty sure people just follow me to see like my silly posts at this point. And for that, I thank you for sticking around. But I aspire to drop some heat at some point on Twitter again soon, maybe once I'm back in a normal schedule.
How much money is enough money in the bank for you to just say, you know what, I'm just going to do passion projects? You can still work for Triple Well, no problem, but just out of passion rather than, monetary gain.
Wait, so you're saying how much money would I need to have in order to not have a full-time job anymore?
Well, basically, how much money would you look in your bank account and go, you know what, I can do whatever I want for the rest of my life and there's no pressure on what I do?
Probably no amount of money because I'm not like that. I'm very risk averse. Like I have so much respect for people who are full-time consultants, full-time contractors, whatever. First of all, well, you're based in the UK, but filing taxes in the United States sucks in every way possible. For those of you listening who have ever had to deal with 1099s, you know exactly how I feel. It's just the worst. You just give up this massive sum of cash like all at once and it blows if you're an independent contractor. So you're just shelling it out all at once and you just watch it drain from your bank account and that's terrible. But I actually really like being on salary, having healthcare, like having stability and having structure. So I'm probably going to be one of those people that works until I'm like 75 at least, living in my family's footsteps. But how much money would I need to have a major like, screw it, I'm going to throw up a D2C brand? I don't know. I think maybe like a disposable 40 or 50 grand right now would be what I would want. Like purely like not saving it for any intention whatsoever. It's like in a separate account for this passion project is probably what I would want to spin up a brand. But
that's probably, you know, 10 years from now for me. I've got enough to do right now.
Yeah, for sure. I think the lowest answer we've had so far is 5 million. So you've come in under budget.
Yeah, infinity is probably my answer. Yeah.
Okay. And guilty pleasure.
I do this thing at night when I'm really stressed out where I put peanut butter and jelly in a bowl and then I dip a cracker into both sides of it and I eat it. I could just make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but for some reason, I do it this way and it is 100% like my comfort, guilty pleasure food thing, whatever. So yeah, that's it. Hate to say it, but that's it.
I think there's no better way to end this episode than with PB&J crackers. Send us a picture, put it on Twitter. No one will know what the fuck's going on, but it'll be hilarious.
Amazing.
The fact that you're still here at the end of this episode tells me that, one, you must have enjoyed it, and two, you're probably as big of an e-commerce geek as I am. Thank you for sticking around, and I just want to give a special thanks to Rewind, Clearco and Vixer for sponsoring this episode. You can find more information and the offers that are associated with those companies in the show notes below. Please also, if you haven't already, go to ecom.gold and subscribe to Gold Club. You'll get alerts about upcoming episodes. You'll get extra content like playbooks from each of the people and guests that we have on the show. And you'll also get access to some of the exclusive content that we have coming up. And finally, do share the show with your friends. Give us a review. It really helps us to build our audience. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Take it easy, and we'll see you next time.